My name is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about show. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right. And it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading The Plot, I now understand the Bible. This got my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered The Plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-INYART, that's E-N-Y-A-R-T, or 1-800-836-9278, that's 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com. Thank you very much.
Warning is to the
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, there was a letter to the editor in the Rocky Mountain News this past week, and it was about the prairie dogs in Boulder, where they don't know what to do about the prairie dogs, and so they're telling the kids, hey, you can't play baseball here because the prairie dogs have decided to live here. And this letter is written by a Clyde Alley of Granby, Colorado, and here's what he says. Well, the headline that the editors use when you send a letter to the editor, you don't write the headline, they do. And they headline this letter, "Don't kill prairie dogs, abort them instead." And here's what Clyde Alley wrote. "I'd like to present a logical solution to the Boulder Parks Department in dealing with their takeover of the Little League ball field by prairie dogs," in an article called "Play Ball, No, Don't, Prairie Dogs Bump Kids from Playing in Little League." And then Clyde Alley continues, "Since Boulder is the most politically correct city in Colorado and possibly the nation, I'm surprised they haven't thought of it. In our society, we have learned that the politically correct way to deal with certain issues is to just rename them from the inhumane to something a bit more palatable, right? Now, animal rights activists will say it would be inhumane to kill the critters just so kids can have a place to play ball. And I agree on one point. I don't like killing animals unnecessarily. But what if we just called it abortion instead? It sounds better, and if anyone catches on, we could call it choice. Then you can just shoot the little suckers, or poison them, or crush their little skulls and suck their brains out, and nobody would be the wiser. You get your ballpark back, and nothing more is said." Clyde Alley, Granby. Wow, what a good point. Okay, let's go to the phones. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, Jim, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, my wife and I homeschool.
Yeah.
And we've got three kids, 11 and twins that are 7.
Oh, that's so neat. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. I'm wondering when is a good time to tell my oldest son about reproduction and all that stuff. I mean, I'm not afraid to do it. I just want to do it the right way or the biblical way. And I'd look at what Dr. Dobson has to say, but I thought I'd rather hear from you.
Oh, well, James Dobson has a lot of good counsel on raising kids, but thank you for calling, Jim. And when, you know, we've raised seven boys, Cheryl and I. We got a lot of kids, a couple granddaughters, and no, I mean a couple daughter-in-laws and two grandkids. And I would say for different kids, it depends on the child. And also, if you could time it with his curiosity, that's especially good to talk about how God made us. He made them male and female. You go to the Bible and you show how God made man and woman, and he instituted marriage, and they will reproduce, and they had children, Cain and Abel and other children. And so you talk through from a very healthy, wholesome, and godly perspective how God made us. And I would think by 11 years old, certainly you could talk to your son. And what we try to do is tie it in. We try to catch them when they're curious, when they're wondering. And if they're wondering at such a young age, we might just blow it off. But if not, I would say by now, Jim, is a real good time to talk to your son. And one reason today we might talk to kids a little bit earlier than we used to, we being the human race, is because our culture is so has so many ways to get at our kids today.
Right.
Through the internet and TV and magazines and newspapers and commercials and the radio. And so kids are going to hear things, and it's really good to have a godly mom and dad, one or the other, talk to them about the way God made us. So I would encourage you to go ahead and talk to them.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you knew of, you know, a good, I don't know, Christian book series or something like that that might, you know, facilitate that. Or
well, I grew up Catholic, and the answer is no. I don't have a recommendation of a book right off the tip of my tongue that deals with that topic. But I'll tell you this: we had a Catholic priest who gave a book for me when I was young, and to teach you about the birds and the bees and all. And I went to St. Anthony's School in Hawthorne, New Jersey, and I would say this book was sick. I'd say it was sick.
Wow.
Obviously the author did not know right from wrong, and so it's just a really bad idea. Now, Focus on the Family offers a book that I don't recommend. In fact, I don't even have it here. We might have it in the office somewhere. If anybody spots that book we just purchased from Focus on the Family, you could bring it in the studio. But we got a call from a woman who was upset about a book, and the book encouraged parents like a dad to take his sons shopping for lingerie for his wife as a way of teaching people about as a way of teaching their kids about sexuality, just one thing to do. And we actually thought that that was a really, really bad idea. I think I have the book right here. It's called The Family Compass by Kurt and Olivia Bruner. So obviously there's a lot of bad advice out there.
Right.
There's a lot of bad advice, and I think that that's an especially bad idea. When your son gets married and he marries a beautiful young Christian woman, he doesn't need special help to say, by the way, if you buy her a negligee, you'll enjoy that. I mean, that's pretty obvious, and it's okay to talk about things like that, but our culture is so raw, and a negligee department in a store has virtual pornography on the displays. And it's not a good idea to take your kids to see that. Of course, they're going to see it on their own, but it's just not a good idea. In our house, we tell our kids, we talk about what pornography is. And for years, we've had different ones of our kids will get a newspaper and they'll say, there's a bad picture in this newspaper because it'll be a lingerie ad. And so we're very protective of our children's innocence, and we try to maintain that for as long as we possibly can. but sharing with them that God made us male and female is not something that will harm the innocents. Do you have any other comments or questions?
Well, I guess whenever, you know, we get to the other side of that and, you know, he at least sees the ideal, you know, godly model for life and everything, mm-hmm. then it might make it easier just to, in that case, for the, you know, warning him about all the things out in the world that are, you know, perverse and, you know, that I'm going, what? You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, at least, I mean, I want to warn him about the bad things, but, you know, really not before I tell him what, you know, the ideal godly way is first.
Right, exactly. That's very wise. By the way, I found that section. I just flipped this book open, The Family Compass by Kurt and Olivia Bruner. And I'm not saying it's an evil book at all. I'm just saying I think this is not wise advice. On page 160, it's in a chapter on sexuality. This book is about practical, intentional ways to pass godly values onto your child. And it says, feminine shopping outing. Although we all walk past the store lingerie displays, pretending that we have no interest in them and would never think of purchasing anything, feminine intimate apparel is a wonderful reality of married life. Why not do the unthinkable and actually take your child with you to purchase something? Dad can take son to let him know that it is perfectly appropriate and thoughtful to buy your wife a sexy outfit. And certainly be discreet, waiting until the appropriate age and stage of development with your child. Actually, I think the older your child gets, the more awkward and unnecessary that becomes.
Yeah.
But don't miss an opportunity to reinforce the wonder of feminine beauty and the pure thrill of sex within the context of marriage. So, you know, people are different, and good Christian people raise their kids in different ways, and people have different levels of inhibition. But I think generally, modesty, it's hard to be too modest with your children and in society. So some churches, I know many different social groupings, it's common to tell slightly off-color jokes. Or, you know, there's dirty jokes and there's slightly off-color jokes. At Denver Bible Church and at Bob and Yurt Live, nobody tells any slightly off-color jokes. It's just inappropriate. It's inappropriate. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I couldn't imagine. But I do know at churches, it's common where people tell, because I've been there. And so I think modesty is something that our culture has mostly lost, and we should recapture it for the sake of ourselves and our children.
Do you remember Jocelyn Elders?
I sure do. She was a
goal to teach kindergartners, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
she was Clinton's Surgeon General. And she said she thought the right time to start teaching kids about sex was at birth. That's what she said. And, you know, she was a wacko. She's the one who said we should have bullets that are not lethal. What's the sense of having bullets then? And when she came out and recommended against toy guns for kids for Christmas, I realized it was the first time I heard good advice from a liberal surgeon general. So we went out and bought our kids real guns for Christmas. It was pretty good. All right, Jim.
Thank you for the help, Bob.
All right. Sorry I'm not more specific on the name of a book, but I think there's...
Maybe you ought to write one.
Well, it could be. But, you know, I think going to Genesis and that God created them male and female, and he created the animals, and they would reproduce after their kind. And I think it... You know, it could be, of course, parents will look to this with some amount of apprehension, but it'd be a really neat experience.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you. Appreciate your call. Our phone number here is 1-800-8-N-YARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Actually, this gal called in and told us about this book, and we thought, no, that can't be true. That just can't be true. It sounded too weird. And so we ordered the book, and sure enough, she was accurate. Of course, she wasn't making it up. And like I said, people, good people, have different degrees of inhibition. But our culture is so raw sexually that I think Christians forget that seeing a woman in a seductive way in public is wrong. It's wrong for women to be seductive in public. And do we expect our Christian leaders will remember that? They should, and it's going to be difficult. A lot of our Christian music adopted the style of singing common in secular music, which is a very seductive sexual singing, as though the woman is trying to seduce a man. That's the tone of voice she's using. And that tone, and there's a name for it in the industry, but I'd rather not use it on the air in a family show. But that tone is not only adopted into Christian music, it's even put into worship music, where worship CDs, Christian CDs, are sung as though the woman is singing an adulterous song, but only it's sung to God. And I would think that a number of the women singing those songs don't realize it. They don't realize what they're doing. And the publishers, now most of the publishers of Christian music are secular publishers, and they love it. And there's simply a lack of wisdom in the Christian community sufficient that such Christian singers would be immediately rebuked, or at least confronted, or at least made aware, and that, hey, this is unacceptable. But they could sing for years and have virtually no one point out to them that what they're doing is wrong. All right. Now we're going to Denver. And Greg, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. This is Greg. Love the show. I have a question about witnessing to a friend at work. We had a lengthy discussion last night. And, you know, it gets into foolishness, and you try to avert yourself from that and just right. Keep on the gospel and scripture. And I, you know, with his grace, did a really good job, I have to say. But it got to a point of the age-old question, and this is what I need your advice on. Well, you're not going to tell me that the pygmies in the backwoods of Alabama who never heard of Jesus Christ are going to go to hell? You know, we got to that point, and I go, well, when I have my Bible, we'll go over Romans, and I'll talk to you about that.
Hey, very good, Greg. You said Romans. I was going to say Romans 1.
Well, I wanted to just get your feedback because this question is going to come up tonight. I have another opportunity, and I wanted to get some sage advice.
Ah. Well, Greg, we'll do the best that we can. And in the Bible, throughout the Bible, there's a principle that God holds people accountable for what they have received. He who receives much is responsible for more. He who receives less is responsible for less.
Okay.
And in Romans chapter 1, Paul says that the truth of God is known through the creation. And there are three things that everyone can know about God, whether or not they've ever seen a Bible. They can know that God is eternal, powerful, and personal. Those three things everyone can know about God. And if they want to, if they want to forget God, and they have a knowledge of God, but they could reject that knowledge, suppress it, and instead worship the creation rather than the creator.
How does that explanation work when you are specifically referring to Jesus as God?
Run that question by me again.
Well, in the conversation, it kept trying to get diverted that Jesus is just one of the ways, you know, and that just drives me out of my mind. And
yeah.
So, no, Jesus is God. Jesus is Son of God. He's the visible image of the invisible God. And you go to that extent, and they just can't comprehend that. So I go, there's people that have been Christians for 100 years that don't understand the Trinity.
Well, there's no Christian that understands the Trinity.
Okay.
We have a hard time understanding ourselves.
Correct.
I mean, we don't understand why light behaves like sometimes a wave and other times a particle. And we don't, there's so much fundamentally that we don't understand. We don't understand what movement is. We don't understand how our soul spirit is interfaced to our body. And so, of course, we're not going to understand the inner workings of God, but we can understand what God has revealed to us. And so I'd like to, you just combine two issues, Greg, that, mm-hmm. that I think you got to deal with them separately. The deity of Christ is one issue. And how about the unsolicited? I call them the unsolicited, the people who have never heard the gospel. And Paul says in Romans 1 and Romans 2, and we read about it even more in Romans and elsewhere in the Bible, that God has communicated to man, God gives light to every man that comes into the world. That's in the Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. And everyone comes into the world with a knowledge of God. And if any person, whether they've ever heard of Christ or not, if they reject the true Creator God and they worship the creation, or they say, I reject any God and I'm going to do whatever I please, then they are truly rebelling against God. That's what they're doing.
And okay, so in our context here in America, where he heard the gospel last night, being Catholic, it was all muddled for him. So he's heard it, and yet he's trying to, obviously, you know, trying to reject it any way he can. And so it comes up, well, if you're telling me Jesus is the only way, what about the pygmy? And that's where it got muddled, and we had two different...
Yeah, so, and Greg, each time I'm right about to get where you're at, and then you ask an excellent question, which is a couple steps ahead of where I'm at.
Okay, so I'll just shut up.
No, don't you? No. Don't do that. I just want to try to bring the audience logically to the next step.
Okay.
So what has been revealed by God to us through the creation is sufficient. In fact, Paul says that the evidence is overwhelming. He says that since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that unbelievers are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. But then he goes on to say, now, if someone has never had a special revelation from God through the Bible,
mm-hmm.
he said, people who receive the law of God in the Bible, they could be judged by that law and condemned. And they could go to hell, because even though they know all about Jesus and salvation, they just reject it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there are those... And Paul is speaking of Gentiles who do not have the law, who obey the law that God wrote on their hearts. And so their conscience will either condemn or excuse them, so that they will either be justified or not based on whether they have rebelled against the true Creator God or they have humbled themselves before him. And that is a solid classical Christian position, that God judges men differently whether they are solicited or unsolicited.
Okay.
And that the unsolicited are judged, as Jesus said, to whom much is given, more is required. To whom less is given, then less is required. And so God judges us on what he has revealed. And if you take Abraham, what God revealed to Abraham was that he was going to have a lot of kids. And Abraham believed it. And God said, you are saved because you're trusting what I have revealed to you. You're believing me. And so if someone on the other side of the world has never heard about Jesus Christ, but he's heard that there are a million gods and his uncle worships a cow in the backyard, and he says, you know, the cow is not God, and the bugs are not God, and the rats that drink out of the holy bowl in the temple, they're not God. But there is a true God who made all these creatures, and he made me, and he is the one that I worship, and I am sorry that I have hurt him and hurt others, then God will have mercy on that man. But when you reject the Creator God, or when you've been introduced to him in that he is Jesus Christ, and you reject him, then you are telling God, I want to live without you when I die. And God says, okay, I'm not going to force you to love me. In fact, I can't do that.
Does that person you just described through the animals and the bugs and stuff, does that person have a fear of the Lord?
Well, the person who's worshiping animals would not.
No.
But the person who's rejecting, the person who is rejecting his culture that worships animals and bugs and dirt, the person who rejects that and says, no, that's wrong, I worship the true God, the Creator, yes, I would say biblically we could look at the fear of the Lord and say he's exhibiting a fear of the Lord.
Well, on that, on another note, that should be interesting to see how Mel Gibson plays it out with this Mayan movie he's bringing out.
Oh, I don't know much about that, Greg.
No, it should be interesting to see how he plays God up in this movie versus how he did in The Passion.
All right, well, I wouldn't have a lot of hope in a Mayan movie, I'll tell you that.
I know. Well, I just meant as far as how heathenistic they were and how cannibalistic almost they were.
Yeah.
How he's going to play that up, as well as, was that okay in their society? Is he going to do the old, watered-down New Age God thing?
Hopefully not, right?
Hopefully not.
Hopefully he'll show paganism for how wicked and cruel that it is.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Greg, thank you. God bless you. Appreciate that call. And now we're going to Texas, Maybank, Texas. Madeline, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you, Bob, for letting me on the air.
And Madeline, hey, you were on hold a long time, but we had callers who were at work, and we were rushing to get to them.
That's okay, Bob. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I have to listen to your show on KGov because we don't get you live here in Texas. And I was listening to, I believe it was the Friday show, and you were talking about a Plan B and Walmart, and it just has enraged me to the point where...
That's the emergency contraceptive pill. That's what they call it. If a woman has sex, the woman could take this pill, and if she has conceived a baby, this will kill that baby before it implants in her womb. And also, it could stop the conception itself, possibly. But this pill will kill that fertilized egg, that little baby who's just come into existence.
Oh, it's just horrible. It is horrible. So we have decided to boycott Walmart and the Sam's Club.
Wow.
Because of this. So my husband called Walmart customer service, told them that, and then I went online and sent their corporate office an email telling them that. And I contacted Costco, which is a competitor, and I spoke with their pharmacy and asked the young girl if they sold Plan B, and I asked her to please ask the pharmacist because I didn't want her to just mouth off, yes or no. She didn't even know what it was, and
right.
So I explained to her just briefly, and so she came back on. She said, no, we don't sell that, and I said, well, good. I will be down there tomorrow to join your club. And she said, no, I said we don't sell it.
Right.
And I said, yes, I know. I am really happy.
Wow.
And I am going to come down there and join your club. And
wow.
I would like for you to please tell your pharmacist, thank you, that I am pulling my business away from Walmart and Sam's, and I'm going to start coming to Costco because
that,
of it.
That is so super, Madeline. What was her response?
Oh, she was thrilled. She was so excited. She said, oh, well, I'll do that. She was really happy.
Good. You guys have more, I think, conservative Christians per capita in Texas than we have up here in Denver.
I think you're probably right about that.
It's probably true. If we did that at a Costco, we might get an egg thrown at us. But no, actually, this is so important because Walmart, the show we did last week in the summary at our website, kgov.com, we wrote that Walmart is poised to become the primary abortion provider in America with their decision to sell abortifacients, and that's this Plan B. And they have almost 4,000 pharmacies in the United States, And this plan B is something a woman will take after having sex. And if this little baby has been fertilized, if an egg is fertilized, then what's happened is you have a brand new, unique, living human being.
Absolutely.
And that fertilized egg, that's now a living human who is self-aware and alive to God, and his or her fingerprints are set, her eye color, hair color, her DNA, even her temperament that has been determined genetically through God's creative process and then man being able to reproduce, this little human being is now in existence. And after, in the next life, one way or another, these parents are going to meet this child. It's going to be startling to many people to meet the children they had either and lost either through miscarriages or intentionally by killing the children through some type of an abortifacient or, you know, a surgical abortion.
Well, I would not want to be in their position, Bob, when they stand before the Lord. I just would not want to be.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Madeline. And we had a caller in today's show that didn't come on the air, but just wanted to make sure that we stress the difference between RU-486 and Plan B.
Okay.
And sometimes I think I've not stressed the difference. At a high level, they'll both kill an unborn child. But at a detailed level, RU-486 actually does a chemical abortion some weeks into the pregnancy, where normally the woman would have to go for a surgical abortion. This is a chemical abortion, where Plan B will stop the baby implantation from being implanted into
okay.
the uterine wall. So, all right, Madeline, it's so encouraging to hear from you. And hopefully you'll inspire more people to take action. And so you're letting Walmart know about this?
Yes, we notified them by telephone today and through email. And we're telling all of our friends, and we have two other friends that are going to start boycotting them also and contact them. So if enough Christians get out there and do that, we can have an impact on it, Bob.
Wow, because now this is Walmart selling this, they call it an emergency contraceptive pill, Plan B. But actually, if the baby is fertilized, it'll kill that baby. Mm. They'll be stocking this now. And that their decision became effective yesterday, March 20th, where this will be stocked in their almost 4,000 pharmacies in America.
Oh, it's just horror. It's horrific.
Tragic.
It's horrific.
Thank you, Madeline, for your commitment and your encouragement to us. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Bob. God bless to you, too.
You're welcome. Let me encourage you to call 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And just ask for a copy of our catalog. We have a catalog that is loaded with really neat Bible materials, and I think you'll absolutely love it. Bible study albums that go through Genesis, so many of the books of the Bible, the Exodus story, the Exodus code, Deuteronomy. Now, this is Jesus' favorite book. It records Israel's turbulent youth. And then we have that in two volumes. In volume two on Deuteronomy, Moses ends his ministry with a terrible prediction. And so it's a fascinating book. And then Ruth, God's great love story, gives a Gentile a place in Christ's genealogy. We have the book of 1 Samuel, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, Jonah and Nahum, Ezra and Haggai, Esther, Nehemiah. Boy, you'll just love these Bible study albums. And one way to find out about them, and then we have much of the New Testament available for you. One way to find out is to call us, 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Another way is to go online to our website at KGOV. That's KGOV.com. All right. And then the phone number to call into the show is 800-836-9278. It's the same number as if you wanted to order something from us or ask for a catalog to be mailed to you. The number 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So interesting show so far. Great calls. Now, in Japan, they're buying organs. If you need an organ transplant, you could get it quickly. If you go on a waiting list in Japan, you're in trouble because they donate very few organs for transplant in Japan. In fact, since 1997, according to the Independent, there have only been 40 organs for transplant donated since 1997 from within Japan. Now, that's wild. But what they're doing is they're going to China, and China has this lucrative business in human organ transplant, which is especially troubling. And so a Japanese person who can pay tens of thousands of dollars for a liver or a kidney will pay the money, and then the Chinese get these organs occasionally, sometimes, from executed prisoners, and then they sell them to hospitals for transplants. And it's becoming such a business that there's this article in The Independent out today, March 21st, 2006. This article says when Kenichiro Hakamura, when his kidneys failed, he faced the choice, wait for a transplant, or go online to check out rumors of organs for sale from China. And that's what he did. And he made contact with this broker, and 10 days later, he was on the operating table receiving his organ transplant. He got a kidney, and it cost him tens of thousands of dollars, 6.8 million yen. And so where is the problem there? Well, there's a huge problem. The Declaration of Independence states that the right to life is inalienable. And we say inalienable today. I think when Thomas Jefferson wrote it, it was unalienable. And that means non-transferable. And that's accurate. That's valid. You don't have the right to transfer your right to life. You can't agree that if somebody pays you $50,000 and they're making a movie, that they can kill you in the movie, and therefore that money will go to your family, which suffers in poverty. That is criminal, both to someone making an offer like that and to the person receiving it. It's criminal. You're not allowed to kill yourself or sell yourself or sell your life. You're not allowed to do those things. And similarly, if the governments of the world allowed people to sell organs, then some wealthy guy needs a heart transplant, and some poor person would be willing to take $1 million for his wife and children, and he would give his life so that they could get that money. And that, of course, would be cruel and wicked and should be illegal. So it's a real serious problem what the godless Chinese are doing here and setting a standard for the world that if you pay enough money, you'll get organs. And not only that, there's an added complexity here, these from executed prisoners. Now, it's good to execute prisoners who've been convicted of a capital crime, but there should never be a conflict of interest in a criminal justice system. The system shouldn't make money off of crime. That's a nightmare. And if you execute a criminal and you could sell his parts for $100,000, I mean, the conflict of interest is intense. And here in America, our system, and our lawyers constantly say we have the best system in the world. And what they mean by that is that we have the highest paid lawyers in the world. That's what they mean by that. We have one of the worst systems in the world. How do we know that? Well, you look at the results. Look at the results of our criminal justice system. And a good criminal justice system will minimize crime. And if you have a crime epidemic, that's an indication that you have a bad criminal justice system. And in America, we have one of the highest violent crime rates in the world. If you look at violent crime, murder, rape. And then you look at our incarceration rate, where we have, what, nearly 2 million people incarcerated on any given day. America's criminal justice system is in meltdown. It is a complete fiasco. And when you have a crime epidemic, that's an indication that the government has failed, because that's the number one responsibility of a government, is to deal with injustice in the form of criminal behavior. And including if foreign governments, armies were going to invade and kidnap our people, take our land. That's the role of government, to stop that kind of criminal behavior. And when the government is failing, then you don't look for secondary and tertiary excuses. You look primarily, when there's a crime epidemic, the primary responsibility is the government and its criminal justice system. Primary. Okay. As a general rule in history, that's how you do that. And so in America, we have lawyers who say we have the best system in the world, when actually, what do they mean by that? You have to learn legalese. What they mean by that is we have the best paid lawyers in the world. And it's no longer a criminal justice system. Now it's just a system. That's all it is. It's just a system. And so we have China that's hurting the world in what they're doing here by selling body parts, including from executed prisoners. But in America, what do? If you're convicted of a crime, talk about a conflict of interest, they fine you. Now, God never authorized fines as a way of punishing criminals. And why not? Isn't a fine a good idea? No, a fine is a horrendous idea, because it's an ultimate conflict of interest. It's an ultimate conflict of interest. And so I'll give you an example. You have a sheriff's department where the sheriff tells the deputies, I don't want anybody writing speeding tickets. It's a waste of time. And besides, the money doesn't go to us. It goes to the county general fund. And so then the county commissioners get wind of this lost revenue opportunity. And so they change the law and they say any speeding tickets, 80% of it goes to the sheriff's department revenue. So then the same sheriff at another meeting says, I want each of you to write at least one speeding ticket every day. Now, is that a make-believe scenario that can never happen in America? That could happen. That has happened. We have firsthand testimony to that fact. So, yeah, that does happen in America. It has happened. And when you fine people as a punishment for a crime, when you fine people, what are you doing? What you're doing is you're creating a conflict of interest, a conflict of interest. All right. All right. Now, Japan doing this, and Japan allowing their people to buy these organs from China, is also a problem. And it's a problem here in America in a different way. I'm not sure exactly of where America is with this and organs being purchased from China. But for example, our medical universities, they go to our abortion clinics and they purchase organs from aborted fetuses. So in Colorado, Mayfair Women's Center in Aurora, Colorado, they abort babies, including late-term babies. And then a professional harvester goes to the abortion clinic every week. And we know, because we have people there. And they know who the people are. They know their schedules. They know their vehicles. And they harvest the organs and the different parts of the baby who's just been killed for, let's say, $480. They kill a baby. And then they start to harvest their parts. And we have even our pro-lifers here in Colorado. I pastor Denver Bible Church. We've testified in our state legislature that we have the price list of the organs. hundreds of dollars for a pair of eyeballs from a baby, $1,000 for a certain amount of brain tissue, and all different parts, and the incredible prices that these abortion clinics are not only killing the babies for money, but then harvesting their parts and selling their organs. And this is about as grisly as anything that the Germans ever got around to doing with Dr. Mengele, only it's happening at your local Planned Parenthood. And Hillary Clinton doesn't care. And I don't think I've noticed where George W. Bush has used the bully pulpit to point out this kind of grotesque behavior in America. So we have a mess in China and Japan, and of course, this kind of negative influence will go around the world. And so one of the ways of identifying whether a criminal justice system has something that's good or bad is look for a conflict of interest. And if a judge has a second cousin who once went on a trip with a witness's grandfather, the judge will say, well, I have to recuse myself because there's a conflict of interest, when actually he wants to go golfing the next day and he knows it'll be a 2-day trial. So he'll find a way to recuse himself. But the fact that our courts fine criminals, people who are convicted, and then that revenue goes into the very system that funds the courts is a conflict of interest. And boy, they're so fine-tuned to any conflict of interest except the big whopper that gives them hundreds of millions of dollars a year. That's the one little tiny conflict of interest they've never noticed. Just never noticed it. Okay, so our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278. There's a new movie out, and we're not going to go see it. But I'll tell you about it. It's made by the same brothers who made The Matrix. And those brothers, they don't speak to the media. They don't do interviews. But the one brother is a transvestite living with a Hollywood dominatrix. So anyway, they're whacked, right? They're whacked. Now, we have a video called Get Out of the Matrix. And that's actually an incredible video. When I was invited to debate a college philosophy class and their professor. And what a video it is. Get out of the Matrix. It will shock you. And if you're getting ready to send your kids off to college and you watch this video, it will horrify you. It will horrify you as to how incredibly ignorant kids become in college. You send your kid off to college. I'm not against college, but just be forewarned, you send your kid off to college and you pay for it, your kid will become more stupid every year he spends on the college campus. His IQ will literally drop. He will become dumber and dumber. So anyway, the Matrix brothers, they made this the movie The Matrix, and now they've got one, V for Vendetta. And it's a futuristic action deal. But it's... the problem with the movie is it was pulled last year when it was supposed to be released, when London was bombed. Remember that? The train bombings in London? And the movie is about the hero blowing up Parliament. And the hero in V for Vendetta, the hero is a terrorist. And in the movie, he says something like, you can change a lot by blowing up a building. So the whole movie is a, you know, Hollywood doesn't have a morality that's righteous. Their morality is wicked. And they promote things that are evil and they condemn things that are good. And so here we have a major motion picture that's coming out with big stars like Natalie Portman. She's from the new Star Wars movies, right? A major motion picture comes out and basically presents the hero as the terrorist. It'd be like doing a 9/11 movie and making Muhammad Atta the hero in building up the movie to where he's the good guy. And he finally blows up the building and kills all the people who really deserved it. And says right before the plane crashes into the Twin Towers, his plane, he says, you know, you can change a lot by blowing up a building. And then he sacrifices his life. And that's what you get out of Hollywood. So beware. Beware Hollywood. Our children, and we've done this a lot now. We have 7 boys. We have 3 really cute young ones and 4 sort of ugly older ones. Well, they're not really ugly. It's just, you know, I'm their dad. And I don't call the 22-year-old cute. You know, they're handsome, but I don't even like to talk about that. Anyway, we got these really cute young ones and real nice bigger ones. And we protect them from the media and the influence. In our home, we don't turn on network TV. That doesn't happen. We get videos specifically that we know what's on them. When there is a popular movie that we want our kids to see, we check it out at screenit.com. And they tell you if there are any cuss words or sexuality or nudity or whatever. They tell you everything about the movie, which means the vast majority of movies are unacceptable. So then we go to cleanfilms.com, and a movie we want to see, but they throw in a couple cuss words or something. At Clean Films, they send you a DVD and they edit it out, the cuss words or the bad scene. It's just gone. And they do a great job of it. So we completely monitor what our kids take in from our culture as far as the TV goes. And that means network TV is never on unless it's a football game. And then you need to turn it off during the commercials. Or hockey, which is Zachary's favorite. Zachary's our 8-year-old. And Zachary loves hockey and the Avalanche. And so, but even then, you got to watch out for the commercials. And Hollywood movies, man, you take your kids to see a kid's Hollywood movie, and the previews could be, some of them could be offensive. So you have to be on guard completely in every way that your kids interface with our culture. You have to be on guard. So kids are going to go see V for Vendetta. They're going to love it because it was made by The Matrix. I'm talking about millions of high school students and college students. And they will be so stupid that they won't even realize that the movie is a defense of a terrorist worldview. I'm not saying that they're going to agree with it. I'm saying they're not going to even realize what they just watched. It will just soak into their skulls. And so they will continue falling through time and space aimlessly. So our culture desperately needs Christians who know God and know right from wrong. So you're one of those guys, right? So hang in there. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.